U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker of the House of Representatives for the second time, a rare and remarkable political achievement, bringing in the new Democratic majority. What should we expect from the Pelosi Congress and how it deals with Donald Trump, President Trump? Plus, the first test for the new Speaker is the partial government shutdown that continues now, pushing towards a beginning of its third week. How long is it going to last? A meeting at the White House on Friday said both sides said the stalemate continues. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with The Wall Street Journal, here with my colleague Bill McGurn. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Paul.
And Kim Strassel. Hey, Kim.
Hi, Paul.
So let's before we get to the shutdown melodrama, let's get to Speaker Pelosi. I think that when you think about it, she was it's very rare. I think Sam Rayburn was the last speaker in the 60s. He was speaker in the 60s to have regained power in the 50s and 60s, regained power as Speaker of the House after losing it, the way Nancy Pelosi did this week. And she was, of course, speaker for 4 years, from 2006 to 2006 to 2010. And now she will have another 2 years after routing any critics and competition. You have to give her credit, I think, Kim, for just being such a formidable political figure and consolidating support.
She is a stayer, no question. When obviously they won back in November, there were a number of Democrats who had outright campaigned, said that they would never vote for her for speaker. That was an electoral promise they made to their voters. Many of them reneged on that and, in fact, did vote for her. And she managed to get that support with minimal having to trade much away at all, kind of a nothing burger promise that she would only serve 4 years. But the truth is, we don't know where things will stand even 2 years from now. And 4 years for someone that has been around as long as Mrs. Pelosi is probably more than enough time, because people have been talking about how she was, you know, needed to step aside anyway. So she didn't pay much for it. There were 15 members in the end who voted no. They were probably given a pass because some of them did come from districts where they had made that promise, but she came out on top.
So you're saying that they will not be found in their car somewhere,
or no, where their arms will not be broken.
Or the Potomac, intact. But they will not be. Their bodies will not turn up in the Potomac River somewhere down the line. It's interesting, though, that she did have the leeway to say that the 15 a pass. But I'll bet you she remembers that, Bill. I don't think she's going to forget those names. And they could be mired in the banking committee lower reaches for many, many years.
Yeah. I mean, look, you and I thought, and Kim, I think, believed from the beginning, from the election, that she would win as speaker, do what she needed to do to get elected. That said, it is interesting to me, she won by 3 votes, I think, right? She had the margin. She knew what she needed. And so she let the other people off the hook. One of them was my representative, Mikey Sherrill, you know, who was running in a formerly Republican
New Jersey
seat.
Yeah.
There. So some of those people. However, I do wonder if that's a problem for, you know, when she was speaker last time, it was clear she was going to be around for a long time. When people think a boss is not going to be there for a long time, it might make for a little more difficulty in the ranks.
But later on
when it comes to certain things.
It's interesting, though. She had the first challenge she received, apart from the votes to get speaker, were for the rules package that the Democrats put together. Every time you have a new Congress, House and Senate create their own rules for how to govern the body. And in this case, they were going to restore something called pay-as-you-go budgeting, which is says that if you add new spending, you have to find cuts somewhere else. It's almost always honored in the breach.
Right.
It almost is never followed. But Democrats like to say that, oh, yeah, we're pay-as-you-go because we're fiscal conservatives. But some on the left, some of the freshmen, including at first Alexandria or Octavia Cortez, said that objected to that because Bernie Sanders made a big fuss about it and says this is going to hurt our plans for Medicare for all. This is going to hurt our spending plans for the Green New Deal, and they were threatening to vote against the rules package. She crushed them in the end. They got nothing.
Well, she's riding high right now. Let's see where it goes down the line. Because one of the things is a lot of these people are freshmen, right? So they can wait. Even if it's 4 years, which is a long time, they might say, I'll be banished to Siberia, the subcommittees you mentioned, in the meantime, if I can make my statement. So we're not going to see. And a lot will depend. I mean, it's kind of, you know, the Asian riding the tiger. If she's strong, if she shows she can trump Donald Trump, I think she'll have more of a following. But if she looks weak, I think some of these people could emerge to frustrate her.
Kim, what do you think what do you expect from the Pelosi Congress here, both legislatively, if anything, or when it comes to dealing with Donald Trump?
That disagreement that you just mentioned, I think, is very important because, as Bill says, it's a question of her leadership style, but also it points to the biggest challenge she's going to have going ahead, and she knows it. Don't forget that Nancy Pelosi has been around a long time. The last time she won the Speaker's gavel, it was because they did elect a big tent party. They had a lot of different blue dogs areas in the conservative country that gave them the majority. She understands, as it happened again this time around, that she needs to keep those suburban voters, that she needs those marginal districts to have a House majority. So I think this PAYGO fight was illustrative because whether or not Democrats really mean it, she is mindful that they need to be seen at least to be fiscally responsible. There was another fight over this week, which I thought was fascinating. The left, AOC, that's what I like to call her, Paul. It's easier to say her name
that's
that
true.
Way.
That's true. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yeah, exactly.
AOC and her crowd.
The notorious AOC.
The notorious AOC was demanding a select committee on her Green New Deal. And she wanted it stacked full of her supporters. They wanted it to be entirely focused on the Green New Deal. They wanted to bar any member that received any donations from oil or gas industry from serving on the committee. And instead, Ms. Pelosi just did what she said she was going to do, which was resurrect their old climate panel, something the Republicans had got rid of, put a Florida Democrat, a kind of more moderate woman in charge of it, who made it very clear they're not barring anyone from sitting on it. They're not going to be exclusively focused on the Green New Deal. And, you know, this really upset the left. But Pelosi knows those kind of issues aren't necessarily what Americans want to hear about. And so she's going to have to figure out how to wrestle these folks. And she sent a message the first few weeks that she's not necessarily going to get rolled to their agenda.
Well, in terms of what we can expect looking forward in agreements on legislation with Donald Trump, I'm not optimistic that there's going to be much that gets done, notwithstanding the fact that both Speaker Pelosi and President Trump are talking as if they can get something done. It looks to me like if I had to predict, I would say it's going to be the Investigations Congress principally. They're going to unleash, Democrats are going to unleash their investigations into just about every area of Donald Trump's life, private and presidential. And ultimately, and then over time, not at first, but over time, they'll start the impeachment machinery going, depending on what Robert Mueller's report shows, which we think might come in the first half of the year. And then also their own, they're going to have hearings on Michael Cohen and the payments of Trump to the women to buy their silence. You're going to have emoluments clause hearings on Trump's businesses. You're going to have Ivanka and Jared and Don Jr. all up there to talk about the business. It's going to be one investigation after another.
Yeah, it's. I think the word for it that they used was a subpoena cannon that they're going to fire off. It'll be interesting to see. I think Kim would share this with me. It'll be interesting to see how Congress reacts, because I think the message of the last 2 years is that the executive branch could just stall, stalemate, and there's not a lot Congress can do. It'll be interesting to see if Nancy Pelosi will go further than Speaker Ryan in holding contempt votes and then enforcing them in the way that Congress has the ability to enforce.
We're talking about the Pelosi Congress, expectations for it, and the government shutdown. And you're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of The Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Kim Strassel and Bill McGurn. So, Kim, do you have any differences about what your expectations are for the Pelosi Congress in terms of I think you agree that investigations will be there, what they'll really focus on. But in terms of legislation, any bipartisan deals that can get done?
Well, the good news deal, if we could find it, I think it is sitting out there, would be an immigration deal, a trade. And this is partly what's going on with the shutdown debate at the moment, or at least setting us up for it potentially, is a trade for Trump's wall in return for some sort of status for the Dreamers or a DACA deal. I think that's the biggest prospect. The other prospects, I have to be honest, actually worry me, because about the only place where Nancy Pelosi and Donald Trump intersect is probably their disregard for the problems of spending. So you've heard, for instance, talk about an infrastructure deal. I think there are some major impediments to that, because for all Donald Trump likes to spend or doesn't worry about it, he is a builder, and he does understand that one of the problems with infrastructure is you need permitting reform. You need changes to some of these big environmental laws that stop projects. Democrats are never going to go there. And beyond that, I don't see much other than trench warfare on things like budgets, et cetera.
Well, and if we were going to see an immigration deal, it would seem to me, Bill, that this is an opportunity over the current budget shutdown, because the budget is shut down, part of it, 25% of it, particularly the Department of Homeland Security appropriation bill. The fight is over border security funding. President wants $5.4 billion. Democrats only want to give him something like $1.3, maybe $1.6. But the point is that it is fundamentally over border security and immigration. Seems to me the way to – and both sides are digging in here. They're not giving up right now, even though the shutdown as part of this government is now going to be in their third week starting, I think, on Saturday. So – but the way to do that, to get around this, or I should say over this, is to go bigger, right? Say to the Democrats, say to Trump, okay, we'll give you your money for this border security. You call it a wall, we'll call it a border security, we'll call it whatever you want. But in return, we want you to legalize the so-called Dreamers, the DACA kids, the now adults who were brought here illegally as children, when, of course, they were minors and didn't have agency to violate the law. And that's the makings of a bipartisan deal. As Kim described, the reluctance to go there now and to break this impasse, though, I think suggests that it's going to be difficult for both extremes and both parties to allow this to happen.
I agree. Look, I think the Journal's been saying this in the editorials for more than a year.
Yeah, exactly.
That this is the kind of deal. Look, on paper, it makes – perfect sense. It's the kind of deal one side gives something and gets exactly what they want, and the other side gives something. And it's the way legislation should be done, right? The problem, as you say, is that the way this shutdown has proceeded, both Speaker Pelosi and President Trump have given categorical rejections of this. In other words, Speaker Pelosi, I think, was asked, is there anything Donald Trump could give you that you know? There's no wall.
She says basically not a dollar.
Nothing, right. And nothing that he could do that would get her to change. And of course, President Trump says he's not going to sign anything for this. Now, I mean, this is different from the usual shutdowns are people trying to blame the other guy, right? That's the usual logic. Early last year, we had the Schumer shutdown when he called for it on DACA, believe it
right,
or not.
Right.
And then by Tuesday, I think it started Friday, he was crying uncle because his members were abandoning him. I'd just say a couple of things. Two points that strike me is, one, I think Donald Trump I don't know that he'll win, but I think he may change the combination here in that the wall is his signature issue, even more than the other things that he promised. And he's shown on trade, for example, that he's willing to take pain. In other words, and not the pain himself, but let other people, like on trade, pay the price for it. So I think he's not like the normal politician that is just afraid of the effect. I think he's willing to take a lot of pain. I'm not sure Mrs. Pelosi is willing to take the pain. I'd also say, as we point out, both have made categorical statements. Trump, I'm not going to sign anything unless I get funding. Mrs. Pelosi, not a nickel for the wall. However, if a deal came along the lines you suggested, I think that Mrs. Pelosi could live with that. I don't think she would be punished for it quite. And people would say, you said not a dime, but she'd say, yes, but I got the DACA. Whereas if the opposite happened, if Donald Trump, because of the way he's laid out his case, if he ends up signing something without any significant funding for the wall, I think he's the big loser there. I think his base starts to howl, and I think the opposition becomes emboldened. So I think it's not clear to me who could be the bigger winner, but it seems clear that the way this has been cast, that Donald Trump stands to lose more than Mrs. Pelosi by giving in.
What do you think, Kim?
I agree with that. I was struck this week, though, how determined the White House is to make sure that that doesn't necessarily happen. You've seen a change between all of the press conferences that the president has been giving. There's been briefings that have been rolled out to members of Congress by the Department of Homeland Security Chief Kirstjen Nielsen. Apparently, they attempted to actually do such a briefing when congressional leaders came in to the White House to meet with him, and they didn't want to listen, so instead they made it available to Congress. They're trying to win the war here on the merits of their argument, whatever those merits are, but they're talking a lot about drug flow over the border and the problem of, you know, illegal aliens and border control and the complete jam up within the court system of dealing with all the asylum applications, etc. And so very much now trying to talk about the policy questions here. And the president understands he has an enormous megaphone, and that's something they're going to have to do, because as this drags on, you know, the press is all in on the other side, and they're going to be running the daily endless drumbeat of stories about all the people that are not getting paid, the federal employees, the national parks that are not being opened, and the pressure will really rise on the White House to roll.
Yeah, and I think that pressure will increase on the White House, then no question. Though the Speaker Pelosi does face her own pressures, one of which is that this is not, if she had her druthers, the way she would like to start a new Congress, the message sent in a showdown over this issue. I think she would much prefer to be able to talk about what she thinks is her main legislative agenda. They're going to pass a so-called transparency and ethics bill. They would like to move on some of the issues about health care and probably a minimum wage bill, just kind of move that agenda along so that they define the Congress as something more than just investigating Trump. And but when you get into these mud fights with Donald Trump, you tend to get muddy yourself, as we learned with the presidential campaign. So I'm not so sure. It's interesting. I mean, I don't – maybe Speaker Pelosi feels she's – she can't afford to hold out here, and the pressure will build on Trump. But it's not as is not as simple an issue as some people might think.
I agree with that. Also, a lot depends on what happens. You know, a couple of months ago, I think President Trump was taking a lot of heat, the pictures of children in cages and so forth. Never mind that a lot of that was from the Obama era. I think the issue was hurting him. You know, just this week, we have Border Patrol firing tear gas at the border. So a lot will depend in terms of the pressure where it comes from. And I'm not sure that President Trump's going to feel it quite as intensely as Mrs. Pelosi. You know, Kim was talking before about her talents, and you were, Paul, in leadership. I think her daughter this week said she's the kind of woman that could cut your head off before you know
slit
you're
your,
bleeding.
Slit your throat.
Before
think, yeah.
you know you're even bleeding. And that was meant in a complimentary
that must
way.
Have been some great teenage mother-daughter relationship there, I'll tell you that.
So she is tough. She didn't get, you know, look, you look back in the last time she was Speaker. I mean, she really got that Obamacare bill through. That's as much her legacy as it is Obama's.
Absolutely agree with that, Bill. It would not have happened without her.
Without her. And she did the practical accommodations. People who dismiss her as just a left-wing marionette missed that. She made the deals that she needed to do. So we'll see what she does in this case.
Kim, do you have any predictions, or we think we should strap ourselves in here for maybe an extended period of shutdown?
I would strap yourself in. Look, we all know there are negotiators apparently headed to the White House this weekend, and they're going to see if they can keep going. But there's something to this point. Both sides have really dug in and not left themselves a lot of negotiating room. We'll see what kind of pressure does increase them on either side. But also, Paul, I just think this is an early taste of what we are going to have for the next 2 years, in that you're going to have these divides. This is obviously not the only budget fight we're going to have. There's going to be more down the road, and this could be the new norm.
Okay. Well, boy, we can all look forward to that. All right. Thank you, Yay. Kim. Thank you, Bill. And thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with another edition of Potomac Watch.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.